Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, getting an update from Contango Ore. We're going to be getting more of a, I guess, development update at the Manh Choh property in Alaska and answering a number of questions that all of you have sent in, all with the focus on when the company could very well start receiving some initial revenues from this Manh Choh project that is a partnership with Kinross. Contango Ore owns 30% non-operating partner, while Kinross is the 70% owner here. We are chatting with Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse, president and CEO of Contango Ore. Contango Ore is traded on the NYSE American under the symbol CTGO. Now, Rick, let's start off. First and foremost, development update. It's been a couple months, actually quite a while since I had you back on the show. Talk to us about the stage of development at Manh Choh and what the timeline is, what the guidance is towards some production here, please.
You bet, Corey. Good to be on the show again. As you know, we've been mining at Manh Choh since late August, actually, is when we had the commemorative opening. So we've been mining and stockpiling since then, high-grade ore. So Manh Choh's averages 8 grams per ton, so very good for an open pit, very good grade for an open pit gold mine. In November, we started transporting that ore to the Fort Knox mill with a small fleet, and then we've been building the transportation fleet as we've received more trucks and trailers. Right now, today, we're transporting, I believe it's about 40 trucks and trailers are making the haul between Manh Choh and the Fort Knox stockpile site. They transport about 50 tons of ore at a time. So you can do some math and, see that we'll be continuing to ramp up the stockpile. I think the last time I checked, there was about a little over 100,000 tons on the stockpile at Fort Knox. And we want to build the stockpile up to a little over 200,000 tons, which should be by July. And that'll be when we'll have run our first batch of ore through the Fort Knox mill and produce gold and get cash flow. So very exciting, next 3 months here as we, as Kinross, and I give all the credit to Kinross here for completing all the mill modifications that need to take place in advance of producing gold. And I always stop and say that, that we refer to them as mill modifications, but there actually isn't any modifications to the mills specifically, either the SAG mill or the ball mills at Fort Knox. There's no change at all there. The mill modifications that they were referring to are a result of the much higher grade value of the Manh Choh ore, which is 8 grams per ton, versus the typical mill ore at Fort Knox, which is between 0.7 and 0.8. grams per ton. So a tenfold difference. That means we need to add more cyanides. We need to have more capacity to add the cyanide. We therefore need a bigger cyanide destruct circuit, more lime, more cement to balance solution pHs, and then more carbon to attract the carbon in the CIP circuit, the carbon in pulp circuit. Since you have more carbon, you need a bigger elution circuit to extract the carbon, the gold off of the carbon onto the steel wool, and then you need a bigger furnace to melt the steel wool and produce all the gold. So those are all the changes to the mill itself that is occurring at Fort Knox. I was just out there a couple of weeks ago now, I guess close to 3 weeks ago, and seeing all the progress there. They'll start commissioning all the various circuits here in the month of May, and they'll be ready to or gold in July. So again, very, very exciting time for us.
Well, Rick, just to that point, with all the work that Kinross is doing at the mill site to do some of those back end on the production side and the processing side, I think this is a huge advantage that you have as Contango. And it may not be as obvious to people at first glance, but when you think about a lot of other companies trying to do this either on their own, build everything from scratch, and or just do a simple toll milling agreement, it's a little different in that Kinross is your legitimate partner here. They're invested in this process, and it's at a mill that they already run. So maybe just speak to the advantage that gives you as a company and kind of the unique catbird seat that you're in.
Yeah, I mean, it is a bit unique. I kind of refer to it as a hybrid royalty model in that we, we have less than a dozen people who work for the company. They're all experts in their field, geologists, metallurgists, engineers. So, you oversee you oversee what's going on. But the fact that Kinross, has the Fort Knox mill, it's been operating for 30 years. They know the mill inside out. They know what it can do. They know what it can't do. And therefore, they know what you need to modify to make it optimal for extracting the ores out of Manh Choh. And so it's a huge advantage over saying, saying we're going to go do this ourselves. And we were talking earlier about just simply ordering 777 trucks for the mine site itself. With supply chain issues, as a small new startup company, you call up Cat and say, hey, we need a dozen 777s. And they say, well, we'll put you on the list and you can have those in 4 years from now. Whereas when you have Kinross at your back and they have a long relationship with Kiewit, one of the largest contract mining companies in the world, they get the 777s right away. So that's a very specific example, but one that sort of characterizes the relationship with having a partner like a Kinross. The very fact that the mill's been operating a long time also just speaks to the fact that don't have this sort of the typical mill startup issues that a lot of mills do. And the fact that we've been mining for, let's see, going on 9 months here now, we've got a big, nice big stockpile at Manh Choh. So we just have to transport it and get it up to site, which we've been doing since November of last year. And, as we ramp up the transportation aspect of the project, I think currently we have about 40 trucks transporting ore up to site, around 50 tons a truckload. And we'll get that up to 60 in the next couple of months here. So then we'll be sort of on step, if you will, and continue to build a stockpile at Fort Knox. As I said, in July, we'll plan our first batch. And then the next batch will be sort of 3 months later. We'll plan to run a batch for about a 1 month time period every quarter going forward from here.
So last year was so important for the company because of this relationship where your 30% interest in the Manh Choh project, you needed to come up with that development capital to retain your 30% non-operating partner status here. You managed to raise all that money last year in what was a tough market. But again, it's a very easy adjustment for, I think, investors to see that you raise that money and you put it into that development that Kinross is leading. Any other large capital costs that the company is responsible for before you potentially start cash flowing from this asset?
No, we've got, we're spending in the neighborhood of $5 million a month in what I call working capital, basically to do the mining at Manh Choh and then the transport up to the Fort Knox mill. And so we, as you say, we raised the capital last year to put in our money. And then, of course, the bank loan money. We have a $70 million line of credit from ING and Macquarie. But of course, they want us to spend our money first, and then they'll put their money in. So we're in the last few months here, we'll be continuing to borrow some money from ING and Macquarie, and that should be all the money we need to get into production. And I think we'll have a pretty decent cushion there. So if for some reason things would take longer, we've got more cash to be able to draw on there. Then you always want to have more than less. So I think we're in a good solid position there. But as I said, I was just out to site, and where everything I think is lining up to produce gold in July. So we've made the April cash call payment, so we've got May, June left.
It's an exciting time for the company, Rick, for sure. We're getting closer and closer to that production. But let's also remind folks that there's still a lot of exploration upside at Manh Choh, not just at depth under the pit, but also along strike. And you were mentioning that there's still some targets you want to get to and your exploration team wants to get to just along strike on the mineralized trend. So maybe speak to the exploration that you'll be doing at Manh Choh to keep growing things.
Yeah, we have a $4.7 million joint venture exploration program that's been approved for this year. It'll get kicked off here in about another month probably as the snow clears and the weather warms up and the light returns to Alaska. And as you point out, the lion's share of that is going to be spent on what I call Minex, within a 5 kilometer radius of the two open pits, the north pit and the main pit at Manh Choh. There's a big soil anomaly. If you look at our website, you can see one of the maps has the soil geochemistry. This is auger sampling. Most of interior Alaska is covered by lust, so you don't see a lot of outcrop on the surface. So you've got to dig down with just a handheld auger drill and get a good sample. And so that's what that work has been done, and it's outlined a nice anomaly along trend for about 4 or 5 kilometers. The known part of the system where the reserves are at Manh Choh are about 1 kilometer in length. And again, I think I mentioned earlier, these are skarn style deposits, so they're very structurally controlled. They're relatively small and potty, so you have to do a lot of drilling to define these things. But that's where the lion's share of the work's going to be done this summer. It is a very large land package. It's 675,000 acres, so it's roughly the size of the state of Rhode Island. And so there'll be a modest effort on looking at the rest of the property, you know, from a geochemical standpoint, stream sediment geochemistry, and some follow-up of some work that's already that did happen last year and the previous year. We've been doing just sort of, you know, characterization, regional stream sediment geocharacterization, and some ridge and spur type mapping. So there'll be more of that, but the lion's share of the work will be right in and around the two known deposits.
So when this project does get into production and the potential revenues start coming in to the company here, one of our listeners noted that on the slide deck, it stated that some of the gold has been hedged at forward prices of right around 2025. Can you talk to us about what the hedging strategy is there? And can we estimate any sort of revenue when gold is starting to get poured?
Yeah, I mean, when you loan money from banks, they're going to make you put hedges in place. They want to make sure that you know, they're going to get a return on their investment. So yeah, we hedged about 40% of the total gold production at that average price of 2025. So, you know, basically, I look at going forward, we're going to have effectively a blended price of gold that we'll be delivering to the market. So that's the sort of the price you pay, if you will, to protect the downside. When we put those hedges in place, I think the gold price was, you know, probably hovering around 1950, something like that. So, you know, putting hedges in place protects the downside. You don't make as much money on the upside if the gold price goes up, which it has done, which is, you know, that's fine. If we'll make more money on the 60% that we haven't hedged. So that's kind of where we see it. It's a strategy you put in place to protect the downside. The worst outcome from a junior company is to try to predict the gold market or to make decisions that only make sense if the gold price goes up. So putting hedges in place is a good good risk management strategy that I think is that's, you know, a proven success every time you do that. Now, I wouldn't want to hedge any more than we have. We like where the gold price is going, and we're strong believers in the gold, in the macro view of gold, I guess I'd say.
Well, Rick, once you start having some of those revenues come in and the production's up and running, a lot of people will start wondering what's coming next down the pipeline. You know, what is the next growth initiative? And you've mentioned for a while that your next project, Lucky Shot, is something that could be a development center that could also feed the beast at Fort Knox. Maybe speak to the initiatives at Lucky Shot and how that could tie into the future growth of the company.
Yeah, so we own 100% of Lucky Shot. It's a, you know, former high grade, former producing high grade gold mine. It averaged 40 grams per ton. I always point out that, you know, look, they selectively mined that and they hand cobbed it. That was kind of the standard operating procedure back when this operated, which was 1928 to 1942. So when the mine was shut down, it was shut down administratively when President Roosevelt used the War Act to shut down all gold mining in the United States. So it, you know, didn't run into a fault or had too much water or the ore body didn't pinch out. It was just simply, you can't mine gold here anymore. And it has not been mined since. So we've simply put an exploration adit into the footwall of the vein zone. And you have to drill that out from underground. Those are relatively short holes. And then there's some more work on the on what we call the Coleman segment of the vein. That's been drilled from surface, and we want to follow that down to the level of our exploration development adit that we put in, which is referred to as the in-search tunnel. So there's some more surface drilling to chase that ore shoot down towards the in-search level, exploration level. And that will allow us then to develop a mine plan between the Lucky Shot segment and the Coleman segment, where you can access it all then from the in-search tunnel, which is above the water table, so you have a minimal amount of water to deal with. That makes it simple. especially from a permitting standpoint. We have all the permits we need currently to mine ore at Lucky Shot. So put the exploration effort into it. It's about 5,000 meters of surface drilling we want to do, and probably about 10 to 15,000 meters of underground drilling to do. And that's something we want to do over the course of the next 2 years, and then develop a mine plan that is contemplating a direct shipping ore or direct transport ore up to the Fort Knox mill facility. So that's the plan we want to get underway as soon as we've got positive cash flow from Manh Choh.
That's the key there. It's the positive cash flow so you can self-fund all that. Outside of Lucky Shot, what else could the company do here, Rick? Would you be looking for another asset, maybe in the vicinity of where you're already operating and exploring to add on to this strategy of finding assets that can feed surrounding mills?
Yeah, I think it's a good strategy. I think, like I said, I'm going to more and more refer to it as a hybrid royalty model, where we focus on opportunities where we can take advantage of existing infrastructure. So, look, these kind of projects are going to be, they have to be near infrastructure. So they have to be near the road, near railroad, or on the water. And then they've got to have grades. So they've got to have quality of be a higher grade quality deposit that can afford the transportation costs to an existing facility. And that can be a mill, it could be a smelter. Smelters need flux to work properly, and that's quartz. And if it happens to have some gold in it, that's usually viewed as a very positive thing. So those are the kind of opportunities we'll look at. And we'll stick close to what I call my backyard, which is Alaska, Yukon, BC. We think there's some interesting opportunities in that geography. So and you need to stay focused. You can't be looking at low grade things. We want to look at things that have good grade.
All right, Rick, thank you. I think that brings us up to speed here on the development and move into production cash flow from Manh Choh, as well as some of the other aspects that the company can pursue for further growth. Again, though, once that cash flow comes in, which sounds like it'll be mid to later this year. Everyone, please keep sending me your questions. I'll get Rick to address those on future calls. Rick, thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate the update.
Pleasant, Corey. Good to talk again. Take care.